Money FM 89.3, best of prime time.
You're listening to Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. I'm Rachel Kelly. Now it's time for Eco Money, where we bring you the latest in sustainability and finance. The COVID-19 pandemic has forced many industries and individuals, as well as sectors, to look at the way business is conducted, with the frequent phrase "build back better" being uttered across industries. And that's the same for the financial sector. But to understand how to build back better, we must first understand the current state of affairs. That's the perspective of Fair Finance Asia, which took a closer look at the fund flows of financial institutions. And according to its latest report, between 2014 and 2019, financial institutions from Asia, North America, and Europe provided approximately $556 billion in loans and underwriting services to some of the largest companies active in high-risk sectors, such as energy, power generation, and infrastructure. So why are these sectors considered high risk, and what are the steps that should be taken going forward, as they say, to build back better? Well, we're joined on the line today by Bernadette Victorio, and she's the Regional Program Lead at Fair Finance Asia Oxfam, along with Jessica Cheam, and she's the Managing Director of EcoBusiness, and they're going to share more. Ladies, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rachel, for having us.
Thank you for having us.
So, Bernadette, perhaps I can start off by asking you, the study that's come out in terms of looking at the role of financial institutions and unlocking capital for sustainability and really, you know, the role that financial institutions play when it comes to sustainability. Can you tell me a little bit more about the countries that you looked at and why?
Fair Finance Asia is the group of civil society organizations around the region that commissioned this study. And we work in 7 countries in Asia: Cambodia, India, Indonesia, Japan, Philippines, Thailand, and Vietnam. Mm-hmm. And the civil society organizations working across these countries, or they were having a very hard time doing their research in terms of their case studies and trying to find out the financial linkages between the banks that they assess as part of our program in the Fair Finance Asia, and how to really see the practices of these banks when they are investing in key high-risk sectors in the region. And so because there is this gap in data, we thought that this is a way to find a solution for this civil society to be able to do their research.
So maybe you can tell us, just jumping forward, what were some of the key trends that you observed from the study?
We basically observed 3 key points. So the first point is the dominance of Japanese financial institutions in terms of lending to big Asian financial companies operating in these key high-risk sectors in infrastructure development, energy, fossil fuels, and also agriculture in the region.
Mm-hmm.
The second one is we observed that the large financing that's flowing mainly to fossil fuel financing, it's so significantly large in the region. And thirdly, we observed that definitely there is a lack of coordination at the regional level in terms of the investments being done by these financial sector, financial institutions, and therefore the need to really coordinate, because many of these countries are actually having the same financial institutions and investing across each other's sectors, but coordination is not there.
Why is that?
Why is that? Well, because in Asia so far, we know that many of these financial institutions are investing at the cross-border level, but there is no regional regulation. So there's regulation at the country level, and usually even if they have high standards of policies and investments in their own country, they tend to follow the lowest possible standards, especially in countries that are developing in the region when they are investing across. So because there is no common way to govern these investments, then this is a real challenge to make sure that these financial institutions are staying accountable.
Jess, maybe I can bring you back into the conversation here as well. And, you know, looking at these at this study, what were your thoughts on the key findings, and what does this really mean for sustainable finance in Asia?
Thanks very much, Rachel. So we launched it at Unlocking Capital for Sustainability just a couple of weeks ago. And I think that really it really shows the scrutiny that banking institutions are facing, not just civil society groups, but, you know, stakeholders in particular, employees and consumers, looking at the investment decisions of banks. And I think what's really interesting that's coming out of this is that the Asian banks are lagging far, far behind most standards. And they are not actually, you know, practicing the best ESG practices. And a lot of their lending practices are still, you know, going into extractive industries, infrastructure development, power generation, agriculture. And these are huge industries that have huge impact. If we can raise, in general, the regional standards of ESG investing, then I think that it will really help the region achieve sustainable development. And this study, you know, it's the first time that it's looking at the banks regionally, but not all Asian countries are involved. EcoBusiness is working with our Finance Asia to hopefully get more countries involved in this, and perhaps we can, you know, then regularly score all the Asian countries. And because there's that scrutiny, then therefore there can be an increase in standards as well.
Yeah, and I think that would be really interesting to see how this tracks, as you mentioned, on a wider scale and on an annual basis. And this is really a question for both of you as well, because obviously sustainable finance isn't new, but how do you both see the role of FIs changing, especially, you know, with everything that's been happening with COVID-19?
Definitely, I think COVID-19 highlighted the structural issues and gaps that we have in the society. The problems that we are seeing now are not really new, right? The issues in health care system access, the problem with the education infrastructure where kids are not able to go to school physically and they are not able to access it also via online in many parts of the developing world. So these are, I think, issues that are being brought before by the pandemic, and therefore giving us an opportunity to rethink the way that we should rebuild our societies after this pandemic, to really bring the investment and the financial, reorient financial investments towards these sectors, essential sectors that really matter, and ensure really that there is, you know, a proper investment towards, you know, environmental and social challenges. We now know by evidence that the more that humans degrade the environment, the more that we are going to see more deadly pandemics in the future. And the more deadly pandemics, the more that our societies will not be able to absorb the shock if we don't invest properly in the social systems that should be in place, such as health and education.
Bernadette, what kind of conversations is Fair Finance Asia having with these financial institutions following the study?
Yeah, the next step is really our coalitions in the country are really bringing the results of this study to these financial institutions at the national level to make sure that they are aware what kind of linkages they have across the border in Asia. Mm-hmm. And at the regional level, we are also reaching the regional platforms that are key in decision making in terms of, you know, making the change and creating the proper regulatory practices and checks and balances in place to make sure that they're aware that this very big challenge, but also potential opportunity for us to leverage on this, that we are able to invest and direct our, reorient our financial investments towards the areas that really matter.
We're speaking with Bernadette Vittorio of Fair Finance Asia and Jessica Chi, Managing Director at EcoBusiness. Jessica, what are your thoughts?
I think what COVID-19 has really showed is this critical link between ESG and, you know, our planetary and human health. And for too long, I think humanity has kind of existed where we've been exploiting our natural world. And to a point, you know, if we are not taking care of the environment, then we are actually, you know, harming ourselves. And so I think financial institutions are so important because the global capital markets literally, you know, make all the decisions, business decisions, finance decisions, and they really need to be looking at investment with the ESG lens, because you cannot ignore the environment and social impact of your investments today. And so I think it's really changed the mindset of financial institutions. You see institutional investors also looking at ESG as a prerequisite before they invest in any companies. And so I think this will only increase in importance. So I think banking institutions really have to look at this very seriously today.
And that's the thing though, Jess, isn't it? A lot of discussion needs to take place on a regulatory level, not just within this particular sector, but across the board as we move forward. Is that a key issue that came up during the recent sessions that you held?
Absolutely. Absolutely. There was actually talk of a green taxonomy or like a sustainable finance taxonomy on an ASEAN-wide level, because right now, I think they have made the point that countries might have their regulations, but across the region, they don't. So Japanese banks, for example, they don't invest in coal in their own countries, but they go outside and then they finance coal projects outside. And as we know, climate change is a global problem. There are no borders. And so there needs to be a regional standard. And I think that, the regional bloc, I think, would do really well to work on this. But, you know, they move very slowly. And I think that if consumers, stakeholders, civic society groups continue pressuring our governments and our banking institutions to do the right thing, then we can come together to have a standard. So we had the UN chief economist, Elliot Harris, at our event speaking about this. And he said the one big setback about sustainable finance is that there is no definition of it right now, no clear definition of it in the region, and therefore, because there's no clear definition and everyone is doing their own thing, it's not coordinated enough. And so I think what we really need to see is governments and regulators stepping up and really saying, okay, you know, we need to come up with the standard and the criteria for what defines sustainable finance, and then we make all our banking institutions play to that rule book, and then there is no competitive disadvantage, and you know, we can level the playing field. And I think this is something very important that the regional government should look at the moment.
Bernadette, do you have anything to add to that?
I think financial industry definitely has very good initiatives at the moment, and we see that, you know, many of these banks are stepping up. We are not overlooking the also developments from their end, but we are also calling on the regulators in our region, who in the end have responsibility to their own constituents, to their people, that they should not just wait it out and wait for the financial industry to do their own initiatives, but be proactive in setting at least the very basic foundations of environmental, social, and governance standards that are really important for us to move forward, especially in the light of this pandemic, to take really seriously what it means to build back better.
And now, before you both leave us, Jess, I understand you've got an interesting event coming up in the next few weeks. Can you tell us more?
Yeah, thanks, Rachel. I think, you know, ESG issues have really come to the fore. We're getting a lot of attention on it. And something interesting that's coming up is that we're actually going to have a debate on plastic and whether it's actually a result of consumer expectations. And so we have a keynote by our Minister for Sustainability and Environment and also the FairPrice Group CEO, Xia Kinping, and then a debate that's going to be live streamed for our studio. So anyone that's interested can go on our website and find out more and register. That's going to be 19th of October.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rachel. Really enjoyed
Thank you so much, Rachel.
We've been speaking with Bernadette Vittorio, Regional Program Lead, Fair Finance Asia Oxfam, and Jessica Chi, Managing Director of EcoBusiness here on Primetime on Money FM 89.3.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.